connection through conversation. Join self-described conversationalist Stacy Heller as she talks with guests about topics and ideas that are sometimes informational, sometimes inspirational, and always entertaining on Stacy Connects.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Stacy Connects. I am calling in today, actually, from my lake house at Veranda Beach. I am super excited about it. So welcome to the show. I am excited to have a guest today. Her name is Ashley Barnes, but let me start at the beginning. So Stacy Connects, this is a show about making connections through conversation by asking questions instead of making assumptions. And basically, it's an opportunity for me to befriend that elephant in the room that everybody else is curious about. The best way to get to know the elephant is to walk up to it and start talking to it. So thanks to everyone that listens to the show. If you like the show, remember you can share it. You can also, subscribe, comment, all those good things that people ask you to do all the time, because it really helps us when we get feedback. So remember, you can find it and also the other show that Eric and I do together called Don't Ask Me to Talk, wherever you listen to podcasts. Today, you are welcome to call into the show live. You can call 425-373-5527. I'll say it again, 425-373-5527, or feel free to text me or leave a voicemail at 475-999-2724. So as I mentioned, my guest today is Ashley Barnes. Welcome, Ashley.
Hello, hello.
I am excited to chat with you. There's a few things that I'm excited to chat with you about, and I'm not going to spoil it. First, I'm going to tell you about some of my conversations and observations from the past week. So I don't know if I have been talking about this much, but a family friend is getting married in just a couple of weeks, and I have become a de facto wedding planner. And I keep saying I'm not the wedding planner, and that excuse is really not going according to plan, which is to say, I'm still continually doing things that wedding planners do. So much so that as I'm here in Veranda Beach, I have a bunch of friends up here, and they are all doing piecemeal work up here, staining wood. They are cutting out circles for mason jars. They are putting stickers on things. It's a little ridiculous. And yet, I'm thinking, if I just invited people to my lake house all the time, I could start a wedding planning company and have free labor. So maybe it is going according to plan. I don't know. But it is definitely a hectic time, but it's also a lot of fun, and it's really getting my creative juices flowing. So that's kind of a fun thing. And I forget about the cost of weddings. I was chatting with my friend Jen, and we were talking about the proposal for the flowers that came in. And, you know, the first reaction is like, wow, that's a lot of money. And then you break it down and you're like, oh, that's not really that much money. And the flowers are fairly scaled back for the ceremony. But by the time you do the flowers for the bridal party and the reception and tables and the aisle and those kinds of things, it gets to be expensive. So, my advice for today's show, go elope. There you go. Just saying. Okay. Next thing, conversations and observations. Went to the John Mulaney show on Saturday night at White River Amphitheater. I have two takeaways from this. One, I had never been to the White River Amphitheater. What a cool space. And we came in through one particular entrance and didn't realize that there was food and drink on the other side as well. And so I was one of the dummies that was stuck in a really long line. And it turns out I could have taken 5 minutes. But the space itself is really, really cool. And I will go back again. It wasn't hard to get to. It was really awesome. And then, of course, John Mulaney, who I absolutely adore. It was so interesting to hear what he had to say. You had to put your phone into one of those little capture cases so that nobody could take any video or record anything, which makes sense, especially if it's likely going to become some kind of a Netflix special or whatever. And he engaged a couple of kids that were in the audience, a little boy named Benji, who was 7, and a little girl named Daphne, who's 5. And he's chatting with these kids, and he's like, you could tell he was like, oh, this is awkward. I'm going to be talking about a whole bunch of things that I shouldn't be talking about with children present, but here they are. And so he would come back to the kids quite often and, okay, Benji and Daphne, what did we learn? And he was very candid about his drug use and addiction and the relapse and his intervention and the whole process. He even reached out to somebody in the audience who said, where are my addicts at? And he found somebody in the audience, and it's a big part of his life right now. And as always, he did it with total transparency and massive hilarity. It was so good. And it's one of those things where you try to be so present, and when you don't have your phone with you, it's weird that like you can pay more attention, but you're like, I want to be able to look up, what the punchline was on this bit or whatever it was, and you walk away like, that was really funny, but I can't now play that like 20 times on my phone or on TV or off my PC and remember what he said exactly. So, the old-fashioned way. Well, that's good. Speaking of the old-fashioned way, so as I said, I'm at Veranda Beach, and this morning I went blueberry picking. I have talked on this show before about the gentleman who has a you pick spot at his residence. He grows raspberries, he has blueberries. His name is Arnold. He is from the Netherlands originally, and he is just the nicest man. And so went blueberry picking, and last year when I got to know him, I learned all of these fascinating things about him and said, I want to interview you for my show. And never made it happen. The summer got away from me. So this year, I brought my recording device, and he's coming for dinner on Friday night. And I'm going to feed him food, and hopefully, he feeds me stories because this man is so interesting. Even today, he had more stories to tell about where he's from and the fact that his father had something to do with reintroducing wine back to the region where he lived after Napoleon had famously tried the wine there, spat it out, and said, burn the fields. Naturally, that's a creative reenactment of that, but still. So I'm very excited for that. And not only have I gone blueberry picking, but I also went cherry picking. And by cherry picking, I mean cherry tomato picking. And a little awkward, only in that at this place where we live called Veranda Beach, look it up. It's in Oroville, Washington. And it looks a little bit out of like it's out of the Truman Show. All of the houses are in these yummy pastel colors with white picket fences and screened in porches and window boxes that are brimming with flowers. And I noticed earlier this summer that in our window box, there was a tomato plant. And I thought, oh, that's funny. I wonder if that was an accident or what the deal is. Well, I noticed that it was not an accident because a lot of the window boxes have said tomatoes and other people are not noticing. And so last night, I won't mention her by name, but one of my friends and I went in under the cover of dark, and we were picking the tomatoes from the houses who the resident isn't there. And the tomatoes were going to go bad anyway, really. And so we picked a whole baggie of unbelievably sun-kissed, ripe cherry tomatoes. And she made an awesome bruschetta today. So there you go. Okay. Last thing, another one of my guests, Rob, I will mention him by name because he is kind of a engineer and problem solver by nature, and also with the work that he does. And I was discussing last night my whole rain barrel thing. Yes, Eric, the rain barrels.
Not going to let that go, are you?
I am not going to let this go. I am not. Ashley, here's the backstory. Driving to this house over the past couple summers, we have seen fire and the devastation that fire creates when the underbrush burns and all of this land goes and whatever. And so I keep talking about this idea of how, you know, on farms and on land, people collect, you know, rainwater and precipitation and all this stuff. And I'm convinced that I'm like, we just need rain barrels all over the place and we'll collect the precipitation. And then, of course, another hater like you and my brother, Eric, was Beck, who does Wisdom of the Wardrobe with me, which airs on KKNW on Mondays at noon. She was like, what about evaporation? I was like, okay, like, come on. But then people started getting into it and coming up with some solutions and some ideas. So now I have problem solving Rob on this.
So I wouldn't describe anybody that asks a follow-up question as a hater.
Okay, well, I would. A naysayer, a negative Nancy, a...
I'm just saying...
I mean, a realist.
I think most of us have just said, okay, but there are some complications for why that might not be the slam dunk idea that you think it is initially, but you know, that's just more challenges to overcome so that when you get there in the end, you have either discarded a faulty idea or you've made that idea bulletproof.
So here's the thing. I believe that the idea is a slam dunk. It's the execution that is not the slam dunk. I'm just saying, like, we are a creative people, and if we can put together highways and byways and potentially have flying cars and we can do all these things, then we can find a way to manage some of this stuff. And really, this is ultimately about a bigger issue, which is, of course, climate control and, you know, all the things that are going on. And so I guess the thing that I'm the most proud of is that when I bring up this ridiculousness in such a small example, in such a microcosm of concern, it gets people thinking about, like, well, what can we do? Like, what are the ridiculous things that we can do? I mean, you know, kiddie pools all over, all the plastics, turn them into giant kiddie pools and then just put them like someplace. I don't know. It's a thought. I'm just saying. So anyway, these are some of the conversations that I have been having all week. And
sounds like you're having a good time.
Having a great time. I have been floating out on the lake. Tonight we're going on a pontoon boat and, you know, we just fling ourselves off the back of it. And of course we're going on a pontoon boat because if you go on a speedboat, you might go over a wave and drop your drink. And it's definitely like a booze cruise that we're going on. So
pontoon's much better for that.
Right? Exactly. Now, my Stasiism for this week, I'll make it pretty short. However, as I was thinking about the wedding and all the planning that comes in for this wedding and the things that Deanna and Jason, you know, like maybe little boys think about this, but definitely little girls, and not all, but a lot will think about their wedding day and what it looks like and what they're going to look like and all the elements. I used to want to get married under like an arbor, a rose arbor that was in my neighbor's backyard. And there's all these things that you can dream about. And then all of a sudden it's time for the execution of said dream. And people, what they don't realize is they think that dream is so far away or that wish, but really it takes as much energy to plan something as it does to wish for it. You can make your dreams come true. If you have that creative problem solving, if you have that community that you've built around you, there's no reason why you can't do it. we just get so focused on what we think that wish or dream looks like exactly, that we become unyielding and unwilling to recognize that the wish or dream may have come true. It just looks slightly different. So that would be my advice. Be a little flexible when it comes to your dreams and your wishes, because it may look a little different. Like my dream, my wish to have some very simple, practical answer to fires may look a little different than I initially thought, but that's okay. Ultimately, it's about the wish coming true.
Might not be rain barrels. It could be just a giant garden hose dragged out to the forest. We don't know yet.
Honestly, right? Exactly. So, okay. So with that note, let's take a quick break here. And then when I come back, I'm going to chat with my guest, Ashley Barnes, and we're going to be talking about poetry and yoga and more. Keep listening.
Looking to reconnect with your partner, spouse, kids, or self? When the disconnect seemingly has been there for a lifetime and is impacting your relationships, it's difficult to determine how and where to start. But At the Root with Greg Kuiper of Kuiper Counseling is the perfect first step. Throughout each episode, Greg talks about establishing emotional connection with ourselves and others. He offers experienced advice, explanation, and resources to listeners. You can find past episodes on his website, KuiperCounseling.com, or through his YouTube channel, Connection Through Awareness with Greg Kuiper.
Stacy Connects, it's not just my business, it's my superpower. Whether you need the right tone and messaging for a new venture, or you've plateaued with your current one, I can help. I connect clients with themselves and their potential. Then I identify unique solutions that translate your brand into messaging that connects your target audience with your business. Go to StacyConnects.com to connect with me and your messaging.
Seattle, Tacoma, Antwerp? That's right. We're streamed worldwide on our app and on the web at 1150kknw.com.
Welcome back to Stacy Connects. I am your host, Stacy Heller. I am joined today by always Eric. And today my guest is Ashley Barnes. Now, Ashley and I met each other through another guest that was on the show. And did the two of you chit chat? And is that how it came, how my show came up? How did it come up?
You know, it's been a while. So I think she just said, hey, you've got to check out this show I was on. And I had a great conversation with her and you need to check it out. I think it also came about because of my book and some of the things Sharon and I are working together on several different projects. And we just have a really aligned goals and visions for all kinds of things. So it just came up naturally.
Love that. That's exactly the way that it is supposed to happen. And fun fact, and this seemed so perfect. So on Thursdays, Eric and I do a show on our sister station, Kixie, and we always start the day with, or the show rather, with like weird holidays, like, oh, it's, you know, chocolate chip cookie day or whatever. Well, it just so happens that today is National Authenticity Day.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, the vibe that I'm getting from Ashley is that she is all about being authentic. And so the listeners can see how the sausage is made, or in this case, not made. When a guest comes on my show, I don't do a lot of pre-planning. I don't have a an interview pre-worksheet with like, hey, what do you want me to ask or whatever it is. Somebody says this person's interesting, or I think this person's interesting. They come on the show and it's a very organic conversation. So, however, the things that I do typically go to the person's website if they have one, and I quite literally do like what I call like the 15 second glance. And I was like, a book, which is on my bucket list. I want to write a book. You're welcome, mom. My mom wants me to write a book. And I do what my mother says most of the time, never a little of the time. Poetry. You're a poet. And that for you is a modality of connecting with people and coaching and guiding towards leadership. And then there was the little headline that I read that I was like, follow your weird.
Yes.
So let's start with follow your weird, because naturally that's the thing that I was like, made me think of National Authenticity Day.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting you bring this up too, because the poem I wrote today and the little blurb I wrote with it was all about being authentic and creating authentic spaces where we can be our full selves. But that's really how Follow Your Weird came about. I was on a podcast with a friend of mine talking about my book, the current book. And she, at the very end, she said, what's something you want to leave with my, you know, listeners? And, you know, that deer in the headlights, oh no, I have to come up with something. Mm-hmm. And the thing that came out of my mouth was follow your weird, because my whole process and my whole, I guess, my arc lately is particularly with putting this book together has been this process of really settling into the for me, what the weirdness of what my life is and the things that I'm drawn to and how mm-hmm. I have spent a lot of time avoiding those because they felt weird, but now I'm embracing them. And this whole thing came about around follow your weird that's sort of become a little bit of a movement. I've sold a couple of t-shirts that I'm not a t-shirt designer, y'all, but it was just for fun. I was like, we need something that says follow your weird on it. And a mascot has come out of it, which is based on a version of me at 5.
I love that. So Ashley, I have this philosophy. Eric has heard me talk about this, that and it came a little bit actually from the work that I have done in the past with the Michael Bruce Image Consulting team. We would go into people's closet and, you know, they would have all of this baggage and all of this stuff. And the founder, the owner of Michael Bruce Image Consulting, he would always show during presentations a picture of himself in like second grade or something. And when we all looked at ourselves back at this younger age, before you started letting people mm-hmm. influence like what you thought about yourself, you know, or I think of the Dove ad where, you know, they say run like a girl. And depending on the different age of the person being interviewed, you know, they might be making fun of girls or they might be running slow or labored or whatever it is. But the little girl that is, you know, in that first, second grade time frame, like she's running fiercely and mightily. And, you know, so the follow your weird is like actually just like following yourself back to your core.
Yes, that's it. Exactly. Absolutely. I mean, I guess my 5-year-old self comes up a lot simply because she was so carefree and, you know, pigtails and playing in mud puddles and outside and climbing trees and just doing whatever the heck she wanted. To your point before, you know, everybody said, you're a little too loud and you're a little too rambunctious and you need to calm down and you need to do all these things that sort of became ingrained over time.
Yeah. I mean, and it's such a shame because it just constantly squashes then the spirit and the imagination and curiosity that would so serve us all well to have later yep. on in our life.
Oh, 100%. Yes.
Okay. So did you follow your weird to get where you are now?
Yes. I guess I would have to say I did. I wouldn't have said that years ago. I think I've dabbled in this, you know, like a little poke here to see, you know, if the sky falls, if I do this thing and then one more thing and oh, nothing happened there. And actually people seem to like it. So maybe this isn't so weird. And then I guess that in the last year or so, I just got to the point where I was like, I don't really care if it's weird. Like I just, maybe the weirder, the better is sounding more and more appealing the older I get.
Mm-hmm. So why don't you let listeners know what it is that you do, and then we can catch them up. And then I also, you'll have time to share, Ashley has a book that's going to be coming out, I think, August 22nd, 2022. Yeah. So right around the corner from today.
Yep.
So let everyone know what you do.
Yeah, so my career, the thing I went to school for is in organizational and leadership development. I have done that for 16 or 17 years now. And then I also write poetry. And I've actually done that since I was, I think the oldest poem I have, was around 11 or 12 years old.
Okay.
And I've got a whole journal of old poems that I've kept. And I do Reiki. I'm a Reiki practitioner. And I blend all of those things together into this weird hybrid of leadership development, leadership from the inside out, right? Because that's sort of been my weird progress is doing everything external and listening to all those external influences and figuring out it all comes from within. And that's really where we get our strength and power anyways.
It's such an interesting combination of things. And I feel like I could see you doing Reiki sessions on someone, which for those of you that don't know what Reiki is, Reiki is actually something that is an Eastern type of healing modality where it is moving energy. And there are chakras, the seven main chakras, starting with the crown, going down to the root. You can think of it the colors of the rainbow, Roy G. Biv. Each one has a color that's associated with it. Each one also has a part of your physical body, like, you know, it could be your lungs or your intestines or whatever that's associated with it. And then there's also these emotional or mental psychological areas that are associated with each chakra. So people that do Reiki are working on these different energy fields and getting them back to their natural flow. How did I do?
That was perfect.
Thank you. So I was introduced to this by a friend of mine several years ago, and it's such an interesting thing. And more Western medicine is accepting and utilizing this modality and realizing that we are, scientists cannot deny, nor can doctors, that we are all made up of energy. And so the idea of moving energy, we move energy all the time. We are, you know, we are energy. And so it can no longer be denied. So when my question for you is, how do you incorporate then the leadership aspect of what you do with the Reiki?
Yeah. So I think what's really interesting for me is that I actually learned energy work at work. I work in healthcare for my career job, and they had a healing therapies program. It was a homegrown internal program, and they based it on healing touch because that was developed in the United States by a nurse instead of being Eastern. But it's the same concept. And so I was able to go through that program, I think because I was on the HR side, right? And they're thinking, oh, she'll be able to help us put this in place. And I tried really hard. It never really took off. But through that process, and then I ended up actually studying Reiki as well. I was doing, you know, work with clients on my own and some stuff in the hospital a little bit here and there. And I was kind of seeing what was coming up. And of course, I was doing my own work and working with people for myself. And I'm still working in leadership development. And what I'm kind of noticing about my own development is that I am getting a whole lot more out of all of this energetic work that I'm doing for myself in terms of my own growth as a leader than I was getting as a leadership development specialist for other people. So I'm putting out all these things and I'm like, you need to know this competency and you need to communicate better. Or you need to go to this class. But I wasn't seeing the needle move in the same way as I was seeing it with the people I was working with and the things that were happening within me too, the increase in confidence and self-trust and just ability to be centered and grounded. And those are all things, intuition, those are all things we need as leaders. They haven't really been promoted as much as they should have. So I was seeing that too, that, you know, there's that distinction between really good leaders do these things, but they don't really, this is not what we promote for good leadership. We're really more looking at productivity and, you know,
sure,
getting things done and strategy and all that. And that's important. You know, that's an aspect of it, but it's that balance of the two energies, right? We need this I don't like to say softer energy, but we do need these energies that are more of the internal pieces.
They're like the soft skills that we all need to have, and that make the whole person.
Yes. Yes. I've heard them lately called power skills, but I think I just prefer to call them human skills, right? It's part of what makes us up, and we are not just a productivity machine all the time. And I just found that, you know, actually doing this energy work, if I'm serious about it for myself and I really take a step back, I'm more productive when I step back and I'm more connected to my own energy rather than trying to frenetically just hammer a bunch of things out. And, you know, my brain doesn't work the same way. Nothing works the same way until I kind of settle back into myself. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, if it works for me and it's working for my clients who weren't at the time necessarily leaders, they were just people I was working with. This is bigger than just a healing modality. Yes, it works for that. It's great. I've seen it work. But boy, this is so much bigger because of people who have said, I want to be a leader. I want to serve other people. I want to help grow other people. I want to make a difference in the world in some way. And stepping into this role could incorporate this into their lives. Look at how many people they touch. You know, they touch all the people that they are who work for them. They touch the people that they're connected to on their, you know, their peers, the people above them. They have some influence there. You think about speakers, like hundreds, maybe thousands of people that they see. Coaches work with it's like a ripple effect. And I thought, this is way bigger than anything I thought it was when I was learning how to, you know, work with chakras and use a pendulum.
Yeah, it is. I agree. It's a fascinating thing. And with Reiki, while you have your six chakras, that there's this idea that there is sort of like a line of light through you that is from the divine, or you can call it, you know, the universe or higher power, whatever you're comfortable with in whatever your belief is. But ultimately, it's a belief that everything, there is something bigger than you that is feeding into you. But by the way, you have to participate in this. And then it is actually grounded right into the earth. So it is bringing, you know, these things that are bigger than us, which is the earth and which is like spirit, and connecting us with it. And it makes sense that we need to clear some of these energies from our experiences or any traumas that we've had or whatever it is in order for us to really, as you say, move the needle in terms of being a leader.
Absolutely. I mean, it for my own experience, what I was noticing was I knew I had some areas around leadership that I could do better with personally, but I just couldn't get there. And then once I started understanding, if you get below, it's not enough to just learn how to communicate. You can take 10 communication courses. You can't really apply that necessarily unless you have that internal shift that says, oh, you know, maybe I'm not a good communicator because this happened when I was younger, or what I had this experience that taught me this, and I need to shift that. And that's an energetic shift. But I think the other thing that's really cool is that you don't always have to know what it is. And that's really where I love energy compared to some of the other things that you could do, because you don't have to know that traumatic thing that happened to you that created this problem. Let's just shift it through. Let's move it on and clear that space and allow something new and better and to come in.
I agree. I love that. And what you're saying works in two ways, that one, maybe you don't know what it is that, you know, created that wound or that situation or that viewpoint, narrative, perspective, and yet it's done some damage. So you want to move on from it. And you also don't have to understand necessarily. There are a lot of modalities out there that are being more and more embraced. And once upon a time, it was like, oh, you know, this is for the people that are airy fairy, or for the hippie trippies, or for the, you know, people that are a little left of center or whatever it is. And more we're combining all of this and recognizing that this is an important thing. And so for people out there that are struggling and are not finding traditional ways to move that dial, then consider some alternative types of coaching, healing, medicine, etc., because you never know what can happen. And you don't have to believe it's going to work for you, but believe that it's worked for other people and go in with an open mind. The first time I had Reiki, I remember driving over and I was like to my friend's house and I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to, like, is this hypnotism? Like, what is this? And am I going to start speaking in tongues? Like, am I asleep? I mean, I really didn't have any idea. However, I was sort of like, okay, I'm going to get out of my own way. And that's what I did. My intention was just get out of my own way. And it ended up being an unbelievable experience. Because in her case, she also happens to be a medium. And so as she was going through my chakras and moving down, you know, some people came through and there was no way that she would have known some of these stories and scenarios and things. So it can be some really powerful work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Interesting.
Absolutely. And I think you bring up a good point that multiple modalities are even better than one, right? So try Reiki and maybe also get a massage on a regular basis and a therapist.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes.
All the different, do some yoga, you know, do some journaling. All of those things help move energy, and all of those things together help move energy more in a really safe, healthy, gentle way most of the time. I mean, I know there's some times when we get some really big shifts, but most of the time it's really just gentle and it moves on through and you can kind of rest and then move on to the next piece of whatever that process is for you.
Yeah, that is true. That's a big piece. And by the way, I wanted to say to you, you were talking about your J job or your career piece. Is this something that you want to pursue enough that you give up that day job, if you will, and then this becomes your passion project, really goes to just your passion?
Yeah, I think that would be the goal. Although it's kind of funny, I have had a goal to get out of corporate, speaking of being feeling weird and not fitting in. I've never felt like the corporate environment was my environment. But I've had this goal now for, almost the entire time I've been in the corporate world. So I kind of feel like a little bit of divine timing, and maybe there's something about having a foot in both worlds, if you will. Part of me would really like to be on the consulting side and really help organizations and leaders. Part of me would really like to help individuals. Part of me would like to just speak and write. I think that'd be fun to just write poetry all day long. But I have a feeling, just knowing how I work, I need a lot of different things going on. I've got so many different interests. I feel like I'm probably going to have a finger in all things for a while.
I was just going to say, so, you know, my day job that enables me to pay for my habit of talking a lot is I'm an intuitive business consultant. And, you know, what's come in through for me, for you, is that actually the fact that you have a leg in corporate HR and healthcare and those kinds of things, these are going to be people that may potentially be the biggest naysayers. And so it is actually you being you think you're the weirdo, but really people have come to accept you and realize that you're Ashley, like, you know, whatever. And you have made these types of conversations, this type of work, more approachable, more appetizing, more interesting. And people are curious because they're like, oh, she's not what we would have had as the stereotypical person that's doing this. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're right. There's a reason why you're in that environment, because you have an opportunity to bridge the gap between these things and have people realize that there should be no bridge to begin with. There is no gap.
Yeah, so that's true. I feel a lot of responsibility, I guess. I don't mean that in a weighty kind of way, but there's so many things that could be better about work. And people are going to work in office environments, in corporations and organizations. You know, everybody cannot be an entrepreneur. And you know, I so desperately want the me's of the world to have really good spaces. And particularly having done, you know, had my most of my career now in healthcare. I mean, those are healers by nature. They want to go to work and heal people and help people. And they end up really fighting that battle of productivity and schedules and inflexibility and all these things that have kind of just come up. And I love what's happening in the world right now. Everything is blowing up and I know it's uncomfortable, but also, you know, all these things are kind of being examined and talked about. And we're saying things need to be different because they do, they do. People need to be human at work and everywhere else. And so I'm just like right in my happy zone right here, although I don't know exactly where that's going to lead, but I'm excited for it.
It's totally exciting. I mean, it's basically, you know, the destruction of everything that's happened is leading to an inspection and dissection of all of the things so that we can rebuild, which is huge. Okay, let's take a break because there's obviously a ton of things you and I could talk about. But I also want to talk about your love for poetry and the book that is coming out. And we'll do that after the break. Keep listening to Stacey Connects here on KKNW.
Stacey Heller is many things, entertaining yet enlightening. She's a talk show host channeling her inner Fallon. Like Winston Wolfe, she's a fixer who gets things done with style. Practical, like Dr. Ruth, Stacey isn't afraid of the uncomfortable when searching for answers. She's your biggest fan and sees your potential before you do. Most of all, Stacey Heller is a synapse who can connect impulses and ideas about your business and yourself into possibility. To connect with Stacey, go to StaceyConnects.com. Stacey Connects. It's her superpower. Too many relationships are adversely affected by wounds from our past. Lack of connection, unhappiness, shame, and regret are just some of the fallouts we experience when we choose to avoid addressing those wounds. Greg Kuiper of Kuiper Counseling is a psychotherapist committed to reestablishing connection with self to create greater connection with others. His work with teens, individuals, couples, and those struggling with substance use. If you struggle with old wounds or unhealthy narratives, get to the root of them in yourself by contacting Greg Kuiper at KuiperCounseling.com. That's KuiperCounseling.com.
Broaden your horizons. You'll be amazed at all the topics we cover on Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back to Stacey Connects. I am joined today by Ashley Barnes, and she is a leadership development and productivity coach, and she is starting more and more to let her freak flag fly and go ahead and follow her weird, which is for her bringing in the Reiki and energy component. And the other thing that Ashley does is she writes poetry. And I have always been a huge fan of poetry. I would write poetry. I have a whole series of hand towels that I do that are based on haikus, and I have them printed onto the towels that guests use in the bathroom. And so I call them haikus. And, you know, eventually I'm going to have them available for sale because they're just that good. And during the break, I was saying that Thursday is National Bad Poetry Day. And I asked the question, is there such thing as bad poetry? Eric chimed in. He thinks there is. Do you think there's bad poetry?
Not really, in the sense that I think it's so subjective. And I just don't think you write poetry if you don't have something deep that's coming up. I mean, of all the different types of writing you could do, poetry is so intimate. So even if it's the worst thing to somebody else, it had to mean a lot to the person that wrote it. And for them, it's healing.
I think it's about the the intent behind it. Like, you know, did you have to write it for a school assignment, or, you know, are you being corny or whatever? You know, I think there's that kind of poetry which the intent then is not there. However, if the intent is, you know, pure and you're writing something, then to me, poetry is like the abstract expressionism of the art world. It is
That's great.
based
I love that.
purely on emotion, reaction, you know, inspiration. It can be musical, it can be a whole bunch of things. One of the books when I worked at a bookstore that I would recommend to people was a book by, I think, Sharon Creech called Love That Dog. And it was a book that was written as separate poems by a middle school student writing about his dog. And it was a really, really cool book. So anybody that's out there, that it doesn't matter if you're, you know, 12 or 102, check out the book Love That Dog, and especially if you love dogs. And it's a really fun approach to learn about poetry, and also it's a really poignant book. Anyway, I digress. Speaking of books, you've written a book of poetry. Is this your first or is this your second?
This is my third, actually. And then I was in a collaborative book project also. So I have technically four, but the three of mine.
I mean, it's four. If I like, I'd be
Oh, wow.
like, yeah, I've written four books.
Yeah.
Has there been an evolution with your poems? What do your poems, like, what are you saying? What is your point of view?
Yeah, there's definitely been an evolution. Like I mentioned earlier, I was writing when I was very young, and usually they were, I don't know, love poems or something poignant, like you said. They're kind of all over the map. And then I didn't write for a very long time. And there's a whole backstory to that, really. But when I
Stuck
started,
energy, perhaps?
well, it's kind of, I'm trying to think of a short version of it. I have the original poem that was kind of the last poem I wrote, and I found it when I was in a class, a writing class, and I was like, oh no. Like it's kind of dark and kind of like, what the heck happened here? And then there was like a 15, at this point it was 15 years later. So to
Oh.
me, it was kind of really symbolic of that was a time in my life when things were just not going well, and they really weren't. And I just cut it all off. I cut off all that feeling, all that stuff, and held it in. And poetry, I guess, was my outlet. I'd never really paid attention to that, but poetry was that outlet for all of the emotion and feeling I had. And so I hadn't written for a long time because I was in a stuck place. Yes. And so when I started writing again, first of all, it was like a dam broke. Like it was like just coming out every just which direction, good, bad, long, short. I mean, it was just pouring out. And it started off, I guess, a little bit like more like healing poetry, you know, things a little bit memoirish, like this is what's going on, how I'm feeling. Then as I kind of got more settled, it kind of became a little more spiritual, a lot of connection to higher things and a lot about that. So the first book was called The Angel Inside. It was really all about connecting with your inner self and through the concept lens of angels. And then it started to get a little bit more directed at this movement of growing and growth and moving into some kind of purpose. So the second book was called The Rising, and it was really this kind of process through, you know, you awaken and then you heal, you do the energy work, you do the processing, and then you get out. And at the time I was saying inspire, now I say lead, but then you get out and lead, right? And then the collaborative book was like, it's an empath book. It was a group of empaths. And so I wrote the story about the poem that kind of launched this whole opening for me, this awakening. And then this current book is actually called Liminal, Between Life and Breath. And this is where my poetry really, really shifted. I went from longer, more story type poems to really short micro poems. They're all written kind of like women's empowerment, but I write them on a daily basis. And it's whatever I hear that comes through on that day. I write it down. There's no rhyme or reason per se. And then I compiled 365 of them into a book. And made a story out of it, even though I wrote them over like 3 years or so.
That's amazing. I love that. There used to be a book that did really well at one time called Meditations for Women Who Do Too Much. And it was, and you know, like one of these little books. And that is the idea of writing something every day. That's a habit that I really would like to get myself into. I mean, more than, you know, exercise or not having a gin and tonic every day, I would actually like to, you know, have a mental prompt of some sort, like what's the first word that you know I can think of? Maybe I need to use my Wordle word as my prompt for the day and write a poem or something based on that and use that as my prompt. Interesting idea. That's awesome. Now tell me liminal. I'm thinking like subliminal. So, but this is not subliminal or this is not like overliminal, this is liminal. So what is
Yeah.
the meaning behind that title?
So it came from a TED talk by Marianne Cantwell, and she talked, liminal is usually thought of as transitions, right? The space between point A and point B, either the physical space or the emotional space in change and transition. And that's true, but she talked about how some people are liminal. Some people sort of thrive best in that liminal space of not fitting in the boxes. Kind of like we talked about, this follow your weird, being authentic. And oh my gosh, it was like she spoke through me. Like she just got me. I've never met this woman, but she got me. And I just couldn't get that idea of liminal out of my head. And the word was so beautiful. And I'm like,
Yeah.
it has to be something. And I try to plug it in a million places, and it turned out that it was going to be the concept of this book. So the idea of the flow of the book is this, how we move through this liminal space, how some of us are really meant to stay there, and there's nothing really wrong with us anyways. But it's not easy, you know, it's up and down and back and forth, and it's wavy and rocky, and but there's also magic and mystery and just beauty in that process, in that and being in that place as well.
Everything that you have been talking about is so naturally and intricately woven together. Like I think about, you know, the fact that you are in healthcare. And so there's that. So that's a service thing. So clearly that is something that you're into. And then being on the side of, you know, sort of organizational and leadership skills and training. So that means that you're really grounded. Then you're bringing in this Reiki piece, which for people that are on the one hand in the health field that you're into, they would be into this, but even they tend to be skeptics when it comes to this. And so, you know, you're bringing that in, and that's another layer that you're weaving in. And, you know, then you have this writing piece and that Reiki piece about moving the energy and getting in touch with what's inside and releasing it so that you can move the energy. And if you move your own energy, you can move the world. And then we add, you know, this other piece that you're talking about with this writing that you're doing for yourself and you're encouraging others to do. And liminal, with all of its meanings, it also has a very light, like when I think liminal, it just feels like, I don't know, there's like a glow to it. And so all of these intricate layers, there is still a lot of room for light and to breathe in the space. So,
Definitely.
of course, we're like almost out of time here. And there, with this book that's coming out in just a few days, could you please tell people where they can learn more about you, Ashley Barnes, where they can find your book, et cetera, et cetera?
Yes, so probably the best way would be go to my website, which is ashleycastlebarnes.com. There is a link to purchase a pre to go ahead and order a pre-copy, a pre-order of the book. It will be out on Amazon starting next Monday, but obviously any book that you order through directly through me will be signed, and I have a couple of free gifts to go with it. I have a Follow Your Weird sticker with my mascot and a little bracelet. And but I'm also on Facebook, Ashley Castle Barnes. I am on LinkedIn. That's the one place I'm still Ashley Barnes. Instagram, but and then my email is, you know, Ashley at ashleycastlebarnes.com. So
Love
that's where you
it.
can find me.
That's awesome. I am going to go and I'm going to pre-order the book directly from you because I, of course, I want a signed copy. And thank you so much for being my guest today. I am very excited to read this book and to learn more about you from really the inside out. It's the way that we should all learn about each other. Thanks, of course, to Eric. And next week, my guest on the show is Keith Lowe. Keith is a professional bass player, acoustic bass, and he is a fascinating man. I had a chance to actually meet him in advance just last week, and wow, what a guy. So anyway, thank you, Ashley. Remember, everybody, if you want to check out her book, you can, as of next Monday, the 22nd of August, order it on Amazon or go to her site, ashleycastlebarnes.com.
Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure to talk to you today.
Thank you. You too. Keep writing. It's inspiring me.
Definitely.
Take care.
Thanks. You too.